Hey, I'm Francis Lam, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini-podcast about the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. Okay, imagine you're making a recipe. Step one says get 10 potatoes. Step two says throw 4 of them away. You'd be pretty annoyed, right? That's a bad recipe. But here in the U.S., research shows that we actually do waste almost 40% of our entire food supply. Now, to be fair, a lot of that is industrial waste, but have a look around your compost bin, and you might find plenty of stuff that still has good life left in it. That's where Mads Refslund and Tama Matsuoka Wong come in. Mads is a Danish chef and a pioneer of new Nordic cuisine. Tama is a reformed lawyer who became a forager. Together, they wrote Scraps, Wilt, and Weeds, Turning Wasted Food into Plenty, and our contributor Melissa Clark spoke with both of them about their approach to trash cooking. Have a listen.
Mads, Tama, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So tell me, what is trash cooking?
So I think trash cooking is cooking from things that we would normally throw away. So for example, peels of vegetables, stems of the broccoli, coffee grounds, weeds.
So all these roots, all these stems, all these scales from fish, fish eyes, fish heads, or whatever you could find of throwing away, we tested it. And actually we did a lot of testing and we threw a lot away to actually came up to the final result. So it was like a process.
So it seems like you really have to be a good cook. You need a lot of culinary skill in order to properly cook trash.
I don't know if you need to be the most amazing chef to do this, but I think you have to be curious and not afraid of doing these things. And just have a lot of patience because it takes a while to come up with a good recipe. So it's a lot of testing and it's a lot of patience. And of course, you have to know about normal skills in the kitchen. But I also have to be creative, of course. You have to be creative and think out of the box.
So I would disagree with Mads, not being a chef. I don't think you have to be a chef at all or have any culinary education, which I don't. And in fact, it's not something that we've just invented. Now, this is how people always cooked and ate. We just stopped cooking that way because we get everything in little packages now. I think it's also a cultural decision that some of it is already made for you by the time you go to the grocery store, but it's also a personal decision that you just decide something is bad or something's good. It's just, you don't have to think that way, but it's a decision that's made at some level.
In the book, you write about part of having the knowledge to be able to do this is to see a lot of the foods in the fields before you bring them into the restaurant or into your own home kitchen. How is that helpful for people?
I think it's important to see the whole part because let's just say you get a fish fillet and you can never see how fresh it is. You can smell it, of course, but you can never look into the eyes of it and say, okay, this is really fresh. Or a whole vegetable, you know, if you don't have the leaves around the cauliflower, if it's just coming in a plastic, you know, you cannot see if it's fresh or you cannot feel it.
One of the foods that you say is has the most wasted parts is lettuce, for example. So tell us about how we can use the whole thing or what we should be looking for.
I do have a funny story about lettuce, romaine lettuce, which is one of the most commonly used lettuces. And so Mads was very obsessed with getting the whole lettuce. And he forced me to take him out to this farm, and he told the farm to dig out the entire lettuce with the roots. It turns out the roots of the lettuce are very tiny, tiny things like your pinky. So for to get a dish full of lettuce roots would require a huge amount of effort. And so after carting away like a huge crate full of these lettuces with the roots, the farmer declined to do this anymore. He said that was enough for today. He didn't want to supply anymore. So then Mads was really focused on the bottom parts of the lettuce that people usually, they cut off the tops and they use that for their salad and they throw away the bottom part. And he got really, really into how delicious and amazing they were. And he put them on the menu at the restaurant he was at the time. And then the problem is they had all these leftover lettuce tops that people had used. And they had too many of them. And they were just stacking up all over the kitchen. So then he came up with the wilted romaine lettuce tops that you can use if you have too much wilted tops because you've made all the bottoms.
That's funny. So what was formerly known as salad.
Yes. But it actually goes really well together.
What about, tell me about fish scales also, because that's something to Americans, we just do not think of eating those at all.
You just have to make it crispy. It tastes like chips. So as long as you pop them in oil, it's like popcorn in a way. Just make it with a lot of salt and maybe vinegar or something, like powder vinegar. And it tastes like sour and onion chips in a way.
That's really
and
Irish.
Every American likes chips, you know. So let's make it into something like that.
And in fact, there is a tradition in Japan, the izakaya for the bars, they serve crispy fried fish bones and scales and things as bar food.
I think if you fry anything, it becomes very delicious. Now, also, what about people love to juice? They use their juicers all the time. We throw out those juicing leftovers. What can we do with those?
Oh, there's so many things we can do with that. What we do in the book, we are using it for pancakes or supplements for flour. So we dry it and then blend it, and you can use it in pancakes. Or you could use it also, like Dan Barber is doing a vegan like burger. So mm-hmm. he's taking all the scraps and mix it up with eggs, I think, and roast it. But we do falafels with it. We do different pastas with it. And another thing, you can also just keep the pulp, dry it, and you can just keep it in storage. And when you need it, if you want to do a vegetable stock, like a broth, you just take it and mix it into water, hot water, and it would be like a dice of bouillon.
Wow. What about coffee grounds? This is another big problem for people, too many coffee grounds.
Coffee grounds, it's very good you're asking about it in a way, because when I used to work at this place, this restaurant, we used it for panna cotta, we used it for sauces. But I thought it was very important because all the waiters was doing this coffee. And every time they did this cappuccino, they throw all the coffee grains away. So I said, okay, instead of throwing it out, just take this bucket here and you just throw it in there and I'll use it for something. So we started using it for panna cotta, doing infusion into milk and cream, perfect dessert. And then also we started using it for salsa, dressings, infuse it into vinegars, all these things.
There's a whole section that we have on sort of drinks and dregs where you think that, you put a tea bag or something and you just use it once and throw it away, but actually it still has a lot of flavor. It might not be for just a pure cup of tea, but it still has a lot of flavor you can use. I think we have a used chamomile flavor in a cocktail.
You can just use it and put it into alcohol, just leave it there. And then the same with the coffee grounds, just put it into alcohol, vinegars, whatever you want, and it will take the flavor from the coffee.
I have learned a lot today from you two. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was our contributor, Melissa Clark, with Mads Refslund and Tama Matsuoka Wong. They're the authors of Scraps, Wilt, and Weeds, and you can find three of the recipes on our website. Seared romaine lettuce bottoms, coffee grounds panna cotta, and coffee grounds biscotti. And while you're here, I am so excited to tell you about our new podcast with Melissa as the host. It's called Weeknight Kitchen with Melissa Clark. Melissa is a New York Times food columnist, award-winning author of a ton of cookbooks, and she's devoted her career to helping the home cook. In every episode, you'll hang out in her kitchen as she walks us through a recipe designed to make your midweek eating a little more delicious and a little easier. It's coming soon, so keep an eye out for it. That's it for today. I'm Francis Lamb. Thank you for listening to this episode of Splendid Table Selects. All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.